إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our seventh session reading from Kana Khuluquhu al-Qur'an, yani his character was the Qur'an, by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahum Allah, may Allah preserve and protect both of them. Before we enter the topic that we're going to discuss tonight, which is the second and hopefully the third hadith from the 14 hadith that the Shaykh mentions at the end of this topic. And again, I'll encourage you to please number the hadith so you can keep track of where we are. Yani, 2 weeks ago we did the first hadith, and last week we had a brief interruption to talk about the importance of character in Islam. And tonight, inshallah, we're going to continue with those hadith, starting tonight with the second hadith. The second hadith, the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, and perhaps the third hadith, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Before we look at those hadith tonight, we want to go back and review some of the points that we discussed last week in the lecture which dealt with the importance of character in Islam. And again, when we talk about character, of course we mean, first and foremost, one's character with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then secondly, our interaction, our character and manners in dealing with the people, the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So last week we talked about the importance of this topic, and we mentioned a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and an ayah from the Quran, tafsir from Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. So let us quickly review some of the points that we covered last week. Starting with the first question from questionnaire study guide number 6, memorize a hadith which points to the perfection of the iman of the mu'min who is best in khuluq. Yani, the perfection of the iman of the mu'min who is best in khuluq. And this hadith is reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawud, Abdul Haq.
عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا رواه أبو داود.
رواه أبو داود. نعم. Meaning of this hadith.
The most complete of believers of regards of Islam are those who have the best characters.
يعني the most complete and perfect of the believers. Of those who believe, the most and complete and perfect of them in terms of iman, it is the one who is the best of them in character. And we can't emphasize enough that when we say character, we mean both types of character. Yes, we do want to emphasize the importance of good character in dealing with the people, but along with that, and more importantly than that, is the character with Allah, which leads to any good character with the people. If a person is observing, respect, and honoring, and glorifying, exalting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fulfilling His rights, then that person, their character, and their dealing with the people will be developed by their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, second question, discuss an important point of the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah, indicated in the above hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Now, Ibrahim.
The principle is that with ta'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the iman can rise. It does rise with ta'a, with obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and decreases with disobedience.
Yani, iman increases with obedience to Allah and decreases with disobedience to Allah. Naam.
This hadith is a proof of that in the Shaykh. The Shaykh has narrated this hadith in Kitab al-Sunnah.
Now, Imam Abu Dawud narrated this hadith in the book Kitab al-Sunnah. And by Sunnah we mean here, Aqeedah. Naam.
Dalil, Ziyad al-Iman wa Nuqsanihi.
Dalil, Naam. Ala Ziyad al-Iman wa Nuqsanihi. Yani that this hadith is a proof of this reality, that there is increase of Iman and there is decrease of Iman. Yani this hadith is a proof. Because, yani, the better the character of the person, the more perfect will be their iman. Their iman will be increased, it will be strengthened, it will be perfected by good character. So there is such a thing as increase of iman, and likewise the opposite of it. This is the aqeed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that iman is i'tiqad bil qalb. Yani it is the conviction that's in the heart. Wal qawl bil lisan, and speech on the tongue. Wal amal bil arkan, and the actions that are done by the limbs of the body. يَزِيدُ وَيَنْقُسُ, it increases and it decreases. يَزِيدُ بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَيَنْقُسُ بِمَعَسِيَةِ اللَّهِ, it increases with obedience to Allah and decreases with disobedience to Allah. This is the aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. If you read any of the books of the people of Sunnah, whether it's Imam Ahmed or whether it's those before him or after him, we'll see that this, and today, even until today, we'll see that this is the aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It's a very important point. Al-Imam Abu Dawood narrated this hadith in the book of Sunnah under the title Dalil, the Dalil, the evidence for increase and decrease of Iman. This hadith is the evidence for that. And also we mentioned last week that this hadith Imam Abu Dawud narrated from the Imam of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that is Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Yani the Shaykh of Imam Abu Dawud in this hadith is Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahumullah, may Allah have mercy upon both of them. Question number 3 mentioned the additional words found in the narration of At-Tirmidhi also, which is also from Abu Hurairah, the additional words. Now I'm in the back. Musa. Yani he added to the beginning of this what was narrated by Abu Dawud. At-Tirmidhi narrates in his narration, yani that the best of you, those who are best to their wives, now in Arabic. Naam, khiyarukum, the best of you. After he said the most perfect of those of the believers in their iman, are those who are best in character, and then he said the best of you, meaning the believers, are those who are best to their women, to their wives, in terms of their character with them. This is very, very important. And may Allah make us of those who are best, yani, to our wives in character. Memorize, question number 4, memorize an ayah, 29th surah, 45th ayah, which shows how worship, particularly salat, affects a person's khuluq, good character. How worship, particularly salat, affects a person's khuluq, good character. Naam Ibrahim. Elder Ibrahim, naam. Ma'alish.
Qawlullahi ta'ala, a'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قال الله تعالى أتل ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
نعم أحسنت. The meaning of this ayat, نعم.
To recite what has been revealed.
Allah ordered the Prophet recite what has been revealed to you in a book.
But as far as the tafsir of Sheikh Abd al-Rahman al-Sa'di, he said, follow.
Yani recite means, yani here utl means ittabi', means follow, yani what has been revealed in the book, meaning commands and prohibitions and the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of it that came in the book. Now
establish the prayer, surely the establishment of the prayer prevents all evils.
And establish the prayer, for indeed the establishment, yani of the prayer, yani this salat, if it's established, yani prevents a person from evil and indecencies.
And the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest.
And the remembrance of Allah is the greatest.
Regarding the Shaykh, yani, he said, and this has this, yani, this is even a greater reason of the salah, more than tanha al fahsha al munkar. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest purpose of the salah.
Naam, that's our next question. And the end of the ayat, wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'un, yani Allah knows what you do, He knows what we're doing, everything that we're doing, saying, so on. After this, discuss briefly how it is that salat prevents a person from indecencies and every kind of evil and wicked deed. How does this actually work? Naam. Step by step, little by little. Let's help each other. Naam. We'll start with Abdul Haq.
Yes, so the one who, the abd who established the salah by completing his arkam and observing his shurut and also praying with khushu.
The abd, the worshipper, who establishes the salat. Establishes the salat, yani gives, yani its rights. Who completes and perfects he mentioned three things. The first of them, arkan, al-arkan, yani the essential pillars of the salah. The second of them he mentioned, the shurut, the preconditions for the validity of the salah. And the third of them he mentioned, the khushu', which is the core, the heart, the essence of the prayer. And this khushu', Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di talks about in a number of places in his book, Shajarat al-Iman, Tawdih wal-Bayan li Shajarat al-Iman. And he also talks about in his tafsir from Surah al-Mu'mineen. And in the first ayats of Surah al-Mu'mineen, he talks about khushu' in a very important way. I wish we had the time, but we don't have time to discuss it today. But at another time, inshallah, or please go back and refer to it. Okay, so he said that whoever establishes the prayer and completes and perfects these three things, then...
So his being will be enlightened.
And his whole being will be enlightened. He will be filled with light, yani guidance, naam.
And his heart will be purified.
His heart will be in the process of purification. His heart will be being purified. The more he prays, his heart is being purified. And...
And his iman will be increased.
These are three important things that, and he adds to that, but these are three important things that he will be enlightened. His whole being will be, he will be guided by light. His heart will be purified and his iman will be increased. Now we're talking about what? How does salat, yani, prevent a person from evil and indecency? And then he said,
his desire for khair will be
strengthened. And his desire for khair, to do good, will be strengthened. And he will be strengthened by prayer, he will be strengthened in desiring to do good. And his
desire for evil,
his desire to evil will be decreased or will be eliminated completely. Naam. And then the Shaykh, he added to that one more point. He said, "Mudawanatuha," yani that a person is continuous, constant in the performance of prayer, not sometimes, once in a while, constant in it. But muhafaza alayha ala hadha alwaj, and that he guard, protect, and preserve the prayer in this manner that has been mentioned. There is no doubt, out of necessity, if a person does this, it has to prevent them from evil and indecency. Naam. And this is a very important tafsir the Shaykh gave here. If a person yani can maybe memorize, but at least yani review, constantly review what he has said here and try to implement this in our life, indeed the prayer will then become that which prevents us from evil and indecency. The last question, discuss the greatest goal or objective intended by salat, greater than is preventing one from fahsha and munkar. Yani, the Shaykh said that from the greatest goals of the salat is that it enables a person to avoid indecency and evil. And then he said, but there's another maqsood, a'azam min hadha, and that is the dhikrullah. Yani that ma ijtamalat alayhi min dhikrillah bil qalbi
wal lisani
wal jawari. He said badani, but jawari, naam, that's the meaning, naam. So, yani, the Shaykh is saying here that yes, this is very, very important and beneficial, is one of the greatest fruits of salat. But what's greater than that, that's intended by the prayer, is the remembrance of Allah that is performed from in the heart and on the tongue and by the body, the limbs of the body. That a person is doing those things. And we know also, right, that this is iman. That iman is the i'tiqad in the qalb, yani qawl bil lisan wa amal bil arkan, yani jawari. So this, yani, the relation here between these two things is very, very important. The dhikr of Allah is the greatest goal and objective of the salat. So a person should be performing salat, constantly being reminded that the purpose, the main, the greatest purpose of the salat is that a person is constantly in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, in whatever time that we have remaining, Allah musta'an, and let's look at the next two hadith that the Shaykh mentioned. The first, or the second hadith that he mentioned from at the end of the book is the hadith, and by the way, I'm going to be reading yani the hadith along with some commentary. I'll try to limit it to as much as possible, some commentary from some of the books yani which are explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari. Most of these hadith that he's going to mention is narrated in Bukhari or Bukhari and Muslim, and from amongst the commentaries that we're going to read from is the commentary of Al-Qastalani and the commentary of Al-Aini, and sometimes from the commentary of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani or Ibn Rajab. All of them have made important yani explanations of Sahih al-Bukhari. The earliest of them, Ibn Rajab, who died in the end of the yani 8th century. And then Ibn Hajar and Al-Aini, they died in the middle of the 9th century, and Al-Qastalani, the last of them, beginning of the 10th century. So these are early scholars yani who explained Sahih al-Bukhari, and we're going to make some commentary from some of them, as well as the commentary of the Shaykh himself, Shaykh Abdul Razak, hafidhahullah. Now, so the first hadith, or the second hadith, the first one we're going to read tonight, is An Jabir ibn Abdullah, and he is from the Ansar, the Ansari, radiallahu anhuma. May Allah be pleased with him, Jabir, and his father, Abdullah, who was a companion of the Prophet as well. He said, كُنْتُ مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي غَزَاتٍ. And I was with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in a military expedition. يعني Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said that the scholars have different opinions which military expedition it was, but what is more likely, it was غزوة الفتح, يعني the conquest of Mecca. He was with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in a military expedition, فَأَبْطَى بِجَمَلِي وَأَعْيَى. So my camel began to move slowly. He was exhausted, tired. يعني my camel was tired, exhausted, he was moving slowly. He couldn't go keep up. فَأَتَى عَلَيَّ نَبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقَالَ جَابِرٌ. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came to me and he said, he called out my name, Jabir. Oh Jabir. قُلْتُ نَعَمْ. قَالَ مَا شَأْنُكَ. When he called me, I said, نَعَمْ, what is it? And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, مَا شَأْنُكَ. What is your condition? What is your situation? What is it that has caused you to fall behind, to lag behind the rest of the people? قُلْتُ أَبْطَأَ عَلَيَّ جَمَلِي وَأَعْيَى فَتَخَلَّفْتُ. I said, my camel has begun to move slowly, he has become exhausted, tired, and therefore I fell behind from the rest of the people. Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says here, commenting on this hadith, yani in between the words of the hadith, he says, look, unzur imaman qa'id. Look at this, the imam, the leader, yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is in front of the people, leading the people, he comes back to the end, to the last of the people, and he's looking, searching, checking, examining their condition. What's happening back here with his people? So he found Jabir. His camel was moving slow. His camel was exhausted. He asked him, yani the Shaykh is saying, he asked him, what is the reason for this? He told him that his camel was moving slowly and that it was exhausted and therefore he fell behind. Jabir, narrating the hadith, he says, فَنَزَلَ يَحْجُنُهُ بِمِحْجَنِهِ. يعني نَزَلَ. Yani the Prophet ﷺ descended from his camel. He came back and found him in this condition. He descended from his camel, and while he was getting down, he took his stick, yani his mihjan, and he hooked it to the rope that was around the neck of the camel to pull the camel, to get the camel to move on. Jabir says, ثُمَّ قَالَ إِرْكَبْ فَرَكِبْتُهُ فَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ أَكُفُّهُ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jabir says, the Prophet said to him, ride. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got down from his camel and started to pull Jabir's camel with a stick around the rope of the neck of the camel, and he told him then, ride. Yani get back on your camel and ride. Yani, and then he said, Jabir says, so I saw, yani, how the camel responded to that. He began to move quickly. Ra'aytu, laqad ra'aytuhu akuffuhu, and I had to, yani, restrained the camel. An Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yani, the camel began to move so fast that I had to restrain him. Perhaps he may, yani, go past the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam or even step over him. This is the first part of the hadith. The second part of the hadith, the Shaykh says, at this point, the Prophet began to, yani, engage Jabir in intimate discussion. Yani, intimacy, yani, friendliness. Yani, just some friendly discussion with him, salawatullah wa salamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi. And he said to Jabir, tazawwajta? Kultu na'am. Qala bikran am thayyiban? Kultu bal thayyiban. Qala afala jariyatan tula'ibuha wa tula'ibuka. Yani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Jabir, have you married? Jabir said, yes. He, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, a virgin or a thayyib? Yani a woman who has been married before, or an older woman, it may also mean, even if she has never been married before. I said, rather, I have married a thayyib, yani an older woman. The Prophet ﷺ said, why didn't you marry, yani, a young girl, a virgin, so that you would play with her, have fun with her, and she would play with you? Yani in some of the narrations, as in Sahih Muslim, he said, تُضَاحِقُهَا وَتُضَاحِقُهَا, yani, تُضَاحِقُكَ وَتُضَاحِقُهَا, yani, so that you will laugh with her and she will laugh with you. Yani, play with one another, have fun with a young lady. Jabir, radiallahu anhu, to this responds, إِنَّ لِي أَخَوَاتٍ, that indeed I have sisters, yani young sisters. فَأَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ أَتَزَوَّجْ امرأة تجمعهن وتمشطهن وتقوم عليهن. يعني because of my young sisters, I was more pleased. I desired to marry an older woman, so she may gather them together, keep them together, and comb their hair and attend to their affairs, take care of them. Yani in some of the narrations of this hadith, it mentions that Jabir, he said that my father had passed away, or in some of the narrations said he was killed as a martyr. My father was killed as a martyr, and he left behind these 7 or 9 little girls, my sisters, and I disliked to marry a young girl like them. Rather, I preferred to marry an older woman who could take care of them, who could attend to them. Subhanallah. The Prophet ﷺ, said to him, why didn't you marry a young girl so that you can play with her and she can play with you? And he said, because of my sisters. They needed somebody to attend to them. The Prophet ﷺ then said to him, قَالَ أَمَا إِنَّكَ قَادِمٌ فَإِذَا قَادِمْتَ فَالْكَيْسَ الْكَيْسَ. And the Prophet said to him, now pay attention, you are going to arrive soon at home, back to your family and your new wife. And he said, when you arrive, then الْكَيْسَ الْكَيْسَ. Some of the scholars, they said الْكَيْسَ means الْجِمَعَ, have sexual relations with your wife. Some of them said it means, as Imam Bukhari said, al-walad, have children. And some of them said, aql means to have an intelligent child. And they have different meanings that they have given to this. And the summary of what it probably means, and Allah knows best, according to some of the scholars, is that the Prophet is encouraging him, when he returns, to have relations with his wife, but to be gentle with her, to be kind with her, to not be hasty, and to observe all the proper manners, and intend, by those relations that you have with your wife, to have a righteous child. And not just to have relations simply to fulfill your desires or your physical needs. Because at that time Jabir didn't have any children. After this, next part of the hadith, ثم قال, Jabir says, after that discussion, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, أتبيع جملك؟ قلت نعم. فاشتراه مني بعوقية. The Prophet ﷺ then said to him about this camel that was exhausted, that was slow, that was causing him to lag behind. Shall I take it off your hands? The Prophet ﷺ is saying, maybe you want to get rid of the camel. Would you like to sell it? Would you like to sell your camel? And I said, yes. And the Prophet ﷺ bought it from me, for an uqiya. Uqiya. And some of the scholars said gold, some said silver. There's a difference of opinion about it. Some of them explained it other ways. No problem. Anyway, it was for some amount of money to be paid later when they arrived in Medina. ثُمَّ قَدِمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَبْلِي وَقَدِمْتُ بِالْغَدَاتِ. The Prophet ﷺ arrived in Medina before me, and I arrived in the morning. فَجِئْنَا إلى المسجد فوجدته على باب المسجد قال الآن قدمت قدمت قلت نعم قال فدعا جملك فادخل فصلي ركعتين فدخلت فصليت. Jabir says the Prophet arrived ahead of him. He arrived in the morning. He said, we came, he and whatever other companions were with him, we came to the masjid, and I found him, the Prophet ﷺ, at the door of the masjid, and he said to me, you have just arrived now, al-an qadimta, you have just now arrived, late, because the Prophet arrived before them. And he said, na'am, I just arrived. The Prophet said, leave, fada', utruk, leave your camel, and enter the masjid, and pray 2 rak'ah in the masjid. So I entered the masjid, and I prayed in it 2 rak'ah. And after he prayed 2 rak'ah, he said, فَأَمَرَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِلَالًا أَنْ يَزِنَ لَهُ أُوْقِيَةً. Then the Prophet ﷺ ordered Bilal to weigh for him. Jabir is saying, to weigh for him, talking about his own self. To weigh for me, but he said for him. This amount of gold or silver. And he said, فَوَزَنَ لِي بِلَالٌ فَأَرْجَحَ فِي الْمِيزَانِ. So Bilal weighed out this amount for me. فَأَرْجَحَ فِي الْمِيزَانِ, meaning that he gave me more than I was entitled to. Yani whatever amount it was supposed to be, he gave me more than that. Of course, with the permission of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فانطلقت حتى وليت فقال ادعوا لي جابرا قلت الآن يرد علي الجمل ولم يكن شيء أبغض إلي منه قال خذ جملك ولك ثمنه. He said, after I received the price, I went. Until I turned around and went about my way, and then the Prophet ﷺ said, call for me Jabir. And he called him back. And I said, meaning to myself, Al-an yarudd alayya jamal. And now he's going to give me back the camel. He paid for it. And he's going to give it back to? He gave me the money for it, and then he's going to return the camel too. He said, فَلَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ أَبْغَضَ إِلَيَّ مِنْهُ. There was nothing more disliked by me than this. Yani that I took the money from the Prophet ﷺ and then he gives the camel back to me. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, خُذْ جَمَلَكْ, take your camel, وَلَكَ ثَمَنُهُ, and also with it, keep the money. The Shaykh Abdul Razak says, this is a story that's in Sahih Muslim and is connected to the falling behind of the camel of Jabir. ويقابلها قصة في صحيح البخاري تتعلق بتقدم جمل ابن عمر على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه أيضا قصة عجيبة. And this story is a story, the story of Abdullah, of Jabir ibn Abdullah. It is a story that's narrated in Sahih Bukhari and is connected to his camel that was falling behind the people. And the opposite of it, there's another story in Sahih Bukhari that's connected to Yani the camel of Ibn Umar, yani his father's camel, that was going ahead of the people. Yani he wasn't falling behind, he was going ahead of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. And this is also an amazing story. And the Shaykh narrates this story and meaning. Yani he didn't narrate this hadith literally from the words of the hadith. Okay, so I alert yani those who are reading in Arabic, this is the meaning of the hadith. He didn't actually narrate the hadith yani by its actual words. But before we go to the second hadith, I want to mention from Umdatul Qari, the Sharh of Sahih al-Bukhari, by Al-Aini, who died in the 855, the end of the 9th century. 855, the end of the 9th century. Naam. He says, the mention of some of the benefits from this hadith. The first of them, he says, ذِكْرُ al-amal as-sali. لِيَأْتِي بِالْأَمْرَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ لَا يُرِيدُ بِهِ فَخْرًا وَهَذَا فِي قَوْلِهِ كُنْتُ فِي غَزَاتٍ. Yani the mention of a righteous deed. What's the righteous deed? Yani that I was in a military expedition with the Prophet. Jabir is telling people this. But the mention of a righteous deed, just so that you can understand what happened in its full context. Not as a means of boasting. Yani he didn't mention it to boast about himself. But he mentioned it just so you can understand the story that I'm going to tell you, what was the context of it? That I was in a military expedition with the Prophet. And what is the benefit of this point? The point is that we should be careful mentioning our good deeds, unless there's a need for it. There was a need for it here. The second point, very, very important point, تفقد الإمام أو كبير القوم وأصحابه وذكرهم له ما ينزل بهم عند سؤاله وهذا في قوله ما شأنك. يعني the Imam or the leader of the people or his companions, the Imam or the leader of the people, searching, investigating, looking out, yani, over the affairs of his people, being concerned about the people under him. Not, I'm the leader, everybody should be attending to me. Rather, he's attending to his people. This is a very important point. Yeah, the leader of the people, the head of the house, the father, the mother, the head of the jama'ah, whatever, the leader should be concerned about the people more than the people concerned about the leader. And this is understood from the Prophet saying to Jabir, مَا شَأْنُكَ, what's happening with you? What's going on? You alright? He's concerned. Also in this hadith, تَوْقِيرُ الصَّحَابِ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو واجب بلا شك وهو في قوله أَكُفُّهُ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yani, the respect that the companion had for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and this is, there's no doubt, this is obligatory to have respect for the Prophet, and this is contained in the saying of Jabir, أَكُفُّهُ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, I was concerned about the camel, now he started going so fast, I had to restrain him. So that he wouldn't akufu an Rasulullah, so he wouldn't go past ahead of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also in this hadith contains the encouragement for a man to be kind and friendly and courteous and gentle with his wife. and to treat her well, have good companionship with the wife, and this is contained in saying of the Prophet, so you may play with her and that she may play with you. And also contained in this hadith, very important point, فَدِيلُ تَجَابِرُ وَإِثَارُهُ مَصْلَحَةَ أَخَوَاتِهِ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ هُوَ فِي قَوْلِهِ إِنَّ لِي أَخَوَاتٍ. Yani the excellent virtue of Jabir in his giving preference to that which was in the interest of his sisters over his own self. Yani in the hadith where he said to the Prophet, why did he marry a matron instead of a bikr? He said, because I had young sisters and I was concerned about them more than my own self. Yani given, being concerned about, especially those under your care, more than you're concerned about your own self. Yani parents being concerned about your children. Older siblings being concerned about your younger siblings, and so on, whoever it may be. Friends, older friends being concerned about those who are younger than them, even giving preference to others over your own self. And also in this hadith is the encouragement to pray 2 rak'ah when a person is returning from a journey. And also in this hadith is that it is mustahab to, when you're weighing out, when you're paying a debt or paying for something that you purchased or paying a debt that you owe to somebody, that you irja al-mizan, that you give them more than what they are entitled to. This is something that's mustahab, and this is mentioned when Jabir said فَأَرْجَحَ فِي الْمِزَانِ, that Bilal gave him more than what he was entitled to, of course with the permission of the Prophet ﷺ. And then there are other points in this hadith, a lot of points, but for the sake of time, and we don't have a lot of time, so that will suffice with this. Okay, the next hadith, hadith number 3, the hadith of Ibn Umar. Remember the Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. He said that the first story, the story of Jabir ibn Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, was the story of a camel that was falling behind. And then opposite that is the story also in Sahih Bukhari of the camel that was advancing ahead of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. And this is also an amazing story, and the Shaykh mentions it in brief here. He says, the actual wording of the hadith came on Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, qala kunna ma'a nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi safarin. And we were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a journey. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said, "Lam aqif ala ta'yinihi." And he didn't find any place that specified which journey this was. Yaqulu ibn Umar, "Fakuntu ala Bakrin sa'abin li Umar. Fakana yaghlibuni fayataqaddamu amam al-qawm fayazjuruhu Umar wa yurduhu thumma yataqaddamu فَيَزْجُرُهُ عُمَرْ وَيَرُدُّهُ. Yani, Abdullah ibn Umar is saying, we went on a journey with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I was riding a camel, yani Bakrin Sa'abin li Umar, a camel that was difficult to manage, that belonged to Umar. Yani, some of the scholars said Bakrin means the child of the Naqa, the first time it is being ridden. Yani, it's not trained yet, so it's difficult to ride it. And it was difficult for him, and the camel belonged to Umar. He said it wasn't compliant, it wasn't yielding, it wasn't trained, and it wasn't following the lead of the rider. So it would overcome me, yaglibuni, fakana yaglibuni. The camel was taking control, and it would go forward in front of the people, and in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Umar, he was agitated by this, he was angered by this, he was irritated by it. So he would restrain the camel, fayazjuruhu Umar, wayruddu, and force it to go back. And then the camel will go forward again, and Umar will restrain it and force it to go back. Sheikh Abdul Razak, he mentions this in general meaning. He said that there was, the camel used to go ahead of the rest of the jaysh, the army, to the front of the people. And Umar, this troubled him, it bothered him, it angered him, it annoyed him. So he would go and take hold of the fact that this, that the, his camel, that his son was riding, was going in front of the Prophet and the rest of the people. So he would take hold of the camel and force it to go back. And this happened several times. But the camel was difficult to ride. And so it was repeated again and again and again. The Shaykh says, انظر مشكلة بعير جابر تأخر ومشكلة بعير بن عمر التقدم. Look at this in the first hadith. The problem of the camel of Jabir was that it was falling behind. And now we have another problem. The problem of a camel that's going ahead of everybody. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, somebody help him. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لعمر بعنيه, meaning the camel. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he saw this, that Umar was being agitated by his camel going ahead of the people because his son wasn't able to control it, and he saw Ibn Umar being also troubled because his father is upset about the camel going back and forth like this. So the Prophet ﷺ stepped in and he said to Umar, sell it to me, yani the camel. قَالَ هُوَ لَكَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He said, it's for you, yani a gift, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, بِعْنِهِ, yani sell it to me. Not a gift, but yani I refuse to take it as a gift, but sell it to me, I'll pay for it. فَبَاهُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ هُوَ لَكَ يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ بْنِ عُمَرَ تَصْنَعُ بِهِ مَا شِئْتَ. This is the wording of the actual wording of the hadith. Like I said, the Shaykh narrated the hadith, not its literal wording, but its meaning. Okay, this is the wording of the hadith. So the Shaykh, he says, yani when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this happen, he looked at the situation and he turned to Umar and he said, "Sell me the camel." Umar said, "You can have it free." And the Prophet insisted, and he refused to accept it just as a gift. He insisted that he would pay the price for it, so he bought it from Umar. And then the Shaykh, he says, so Ibn Umar, the Prophet ﷺ said to Abdul Ibn Umar, Al-Bayir Raka Fasna Kama Shitta, yani the meaning of the hadith, the camel is for you, it's yours as a gift, so do with it as you please. Yani in taqaddam fal amra ikhtalaf an sabiqihi. Yani, meaning if the camel goes now ahead of the rest of the people, yani the affair is different now. Umar has nothing to do with this. This is your camel. I don't have any problem. Yani, be at ease, be at rest. Don't worry about it. The matter, the problem is solved. Sheikh says, حل المشكلة الأولى مشكلة تأخر الجمل والمشكلة الثانية مشكلة تقدم الجمل بشراء البعير وإعطائه لصاحبه. Yani, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, yani he, the first problem, the problem of the camel, yani the camel of who? Of Jabir bin Abdullah. That problem was the camel was going too slow. Mushkilat Thaniya, the second problem, the problem of the camel of Ibn Umar is that it was going too fast. And he solved both problems by what? By purchasing the camel and then giving it, yani, to the one that he intended it for. Just quickly, a couple of points that Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani mentions concerning this hadith. He has a long discussion of the hadith, yani pages and pages and pages. I tried to summarize a couple of points from this that are of great benefit. في هذا الحديث, he said, and in this hadith it contains ما كان الصحابة عليه من توقيرهم للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن لا يتقدموه في المشي. And in this hadith it contains an indication of the توقير, يعني the respect of the companions for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such that they wouldn't even walk in front of him. And this is to teach us, yani, how the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how they viewed him, and how we should view him, yani now, how we should view him, even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not living, but the respect that we should have for him, that we don't, yani, go ahead of him in speech or in action. We don't say anything, yani, without seeing what the Prophet ﷺ said. We don't do anything except knowing how did the Prophet ﷺ do it. And out of respect for our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He also mentions, yani, from the important points, and like I said, there are a lot of points, but the points that I want to focus on. Second point, mura'atu an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ahwal as-sahaba. Yani the care and attention that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to the different conditions of his companions. Yani he gave attention to this. Mura'ah, he used to pay attention, noticing what their conditions were, what was their situation, who was having problems, or other than that. He used to pay attention to this. And every leader needs to pay attention. And the leader is not just the head of the state, but the leader is whoever's in charge of other people, whether it's on the job, or whether it's at home, or wherever it may be in the community. And he giving care to the conditions of the people when they're sick, when they're healthy, when they are, yani, suffering, they have need, they have problems, whatever it may be, paying attention to this. That we have to be of those people that if anybody's under our charge, we pay attention to them. And the last point, yani, I want to mention, حِرْصُهُ, yani, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, عَلَى مَا يُدْخِلُ عَلَيْهِمْ السُّرُورَ. حِرْصُهُ, yani, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, عَلَى مَا يُدْخِلُ, يعني فَمْ أَدْخَلَ يُدْخِلُ مَا يُدْخِلُ عَلَيْهِمْ السُّرُورُ, meaning
diligent.
نعم, he was diligent, eager to yani attend to that which would bring happiness to his companions. What would bring happiness to them? He was concerned about this. Yani what will make them happy? What can I do to make them happy? And this is any part. This is the example of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's a part of brotherhood in Islam and sisterhood in Islam that Muslims are concerned about one another. Yani we want to know what will make somebody happy, not as we find today. It seems as though some people trying to find what can make you sad, what can make difficulties for you in your life, what can make hardship. How can they slander you, belittle you, or whatever, make difficulty and hardship fitna for you? Rather, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to look at the Muslims and see what can he do to bring happiness to them. And if people are in difficulty, how can I relieve them of their difficulty? And it's so different than what we found ourselves in today. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, I just want to read quickly. I'm stop here with this hadith. We still have a few minutes before the adhan. Well, let me see if there's any question first about what we talked about tonight. Any question about what we talked about tonight? First, Naam, Ibrahim.
How is the purchasing of Jabir's ba'ir, solving his issue, giving it back to him? I understand the second one.
Basically, Jabir had a camel, right, which was not, it wasn't the best camel in the group, right? Camel was, and everybody else was moving around. His camel was exhausted. It was moving slow. It was tired. It couldn't keep up. So the Prophet ﷺ, seeing that he had a camel that was a problem. Imagine if you had a car, right, that was always breaking down. It couldn't get you where you want to go. And somebody said, "Let me relieve you of that problem. I'll buy the car from you. I'll solve your problem. I'd like to get rid of this car, but nobody will buy it. Because why would anybody buy the car that doesn't, can't function? It doesn't fulfill my needs. So the Prophet relieved him of that problem. On top of that, he didn't just relieve him of the problem. He bought the camel from him, and then he gave him back the camel with the money. I'll pay for it. You can buy a new camel and keep the one you have too. So who would do that today? He's our Prophet. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. نعم. Anybody have a question about what we talked about tonight?
In regards to...
Let me give Khatib. I'll come back, inshallah.
When you were mentioning the things that increase your iman.
Now.
I remember reading something about knowledge. Seeking knowledge, gaining knowledge increases your iman. Your iman and... They use as an example.
Seeking knowledge increases your iman. Yeah, it's a means of increase of iman. Now.
And they use the example of the scholars. Are they like the people that know? Are they like the people who don't know?
Yeah.
And it's because of their increase of knowledge that their iman goes up.
Now. Okay, so there are a lot of things that could be said about that, but there's no doubt that knowledge is one of the means in which a person can increase an iman, right? Because everything of good that you do, it increases iman. Okay, seeking knowledge is obedience to Allah. The scholars generally, they said that iman yazid wa yanqus. Yazid bi ta'a. It increases by ta'a. So seeking knowledge is obedience to Allah. Because Allah ordered us to seek knowledge. The Prophet ﷺ said, talab al-ilm faridatun ala kulli muslim. Seeking knowledge is obligatory upon every Muslim. So if a person seeks knowledge, that's obedience to Allah. In addition to the knowledge that they receive, if it's beneficial knowledge, from the scholars of the Sunnah, from the Quran and the Sunnah, then that knowledge will also enable them to do other good deeds besides seeking knowledge. Right? Because Imam Bukhari, he said what? Bab al-ilm qabla al-qawli wal-amali. Bab al-ilm, knowledge is necessary. It precedes speech and action. You can't speak correctly except with correct knowledge. You can't act correctly except with correct knowledge, so that you have to have knowledge in order to say the good things. That the speech that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do the good deeds that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is some of the ways in which knowledge is a source of increase of iman. Iman, na'am.
The speech of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَفَلَا جَارِيَةَ تُلَاعِبُهَا وَتُلَاعِبُكَ. Do we understand that is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraging to marry a virgin?
Yeah, it's encouraging to marry a virgin, na'am. Of course, everybody's situation is different. Like, as Jabir, his situation is different, right? He needed an older woman that was mature, responsible, capable, equipped, fit, ready to take care of those girls that his father left behind. So everybody's situation is different, but it is an encouragement. Now, no doubt about it, encouragement.
I ask that because as far as the history of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the father of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he only married only one virgin, Aisha radiallahu anha, and the rest were previously married women. So, just trying to understand, what is the correct fahm? Because we usually, when we hear this, this is usually what comes to mind, that this is what is suggested by the Prophet.
The scholars are agreement. The scholars are in agreement. Mostly all the scholars that explained this hadith said that in this hadith, I didn't read that point because I'm trying to limit the points to that which is crucial to our topic. But all the scholars said that this hadith contains an encouragement from the Prophet ﷺ to marry a virgin. That's an encouragement. There's no doubt about it. And the Prophet ﷺ, he married Aisha radiallahu anha only. The rest of his wives were widowed or divorced. Because of the circumstances. Because he was the leader of the people. So he had to attend to those people who had died in battles. He married some of their wives, women who were divorced and left. He took them and so on. That was his condition. I just want to take a couple of minutes and share with us what Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di says here. He also talked about this topic also in detail in Shajarat Al-Iman. But I just want to read, just for the benefit, I can find quickly Surah Al-Mu'mineen. This is related to our topic from last week, the importance of Salat and how it prevents a person from evil and indecency. And from amongst the things that the Shaykh said, he said that that is the person who completes and perfects the arkan of the salat and the shurut of the salat. The shurut are the things that are necessary before you pray for the validity of the salat. Like the time of the salat, tahara, and things like this. And the arkan are the essential elements of the prayer. And he said the khushu'. And the Shaykh, he mentions in Surah Al-Mu'minun, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, indeed, the believers, those who have iman, they are successful. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, those who have khushu in their salat, until the end of those ayat, up until ayat number 10 or 11. The point that I want to mention here is from the characteristics, the eight characteristics of those who be successful. The first of them is iman, the second of them is khushu in the salat. And the Shaykh, he says concerning this, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, they would definitely be successful. He said, صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. الْخُشُوعَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ هُوَ حُدُورَ الْقَلْبَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مُسْتَحْضِرًا لِكُرْبِهِ فَيَسْكُنْ لِذَلِكَ قَلْبُهُ وَتَطْمَئِنَّ نَفْسُهُ وَتَسْكُنْ حَرَكَاتُهُ وَيَقِلُّ الْإِلْتِفَاتُهُ متأدبا بين يدي ربه مستحضرا جميع ما يقوله ويفعله في صلاته من أول صلاته إلى آخره فتنتفي بذلك الوسواس والأفكار الردية وهذا روح الصلاة والمقصود منها هو الذي يكتب للعبد فالصلاة التي لا خشوع فيها ولا هدور القلب وإن كانت مجزية مثابا عليها فإن الثواب على حسب ما يعقل القلب منها. The Shaykh, he says here, الخشوع in the salat, it is هدور القلب. That a person has presence of the heart and mind. They are conscious that they are standing in front of Allah the Most High. هدور القلب بين يدي الله مستحضرا لقربه, calling to mind the nearness, your nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you're standing in prayer. You're praying and you're calling, you're reminding yourself that I'm near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيَسْكُنْ لِذَلِكَ قَلْبُهُ, so his heart will be calm due to this. وَتَطْمَعَنَّ نَفْسُهُ, and his soul also will be at rest due to this. The fact that he's standing, his heart and his mind is conscious of his standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the nearness to him. So that means his his heart and his soul and his whole being is at rest. وَتَسْكُنْ حَرَكَاتُهُ وَيَقِلُّ إِلْتِفَاتُهُ. And then his movements, yani, will become, yani, he won't be moving around, making, looking, moving, fixing things. He'll be calm, physically calm. Huh? And his looking from here and there will be reduced to very little. مُتَأَدِّبًا بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ رَبِّهِ. Yani, he will be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what? Adab. Yani, knowing that he's standing in front of Allah. Showing adab. Yani, that he has manners. He realizes he's standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how we should be praying. He said, مُسْتَحْضِرًا جَمِيعَ مَا يَقُولُهُ وَيَفْعَلُهُ فِي الصَّلَاتِ مِنْ أَوَّلِ الصَّلَاتِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِ. And he will be conscious and aware. He will be calling to mind everything that he is saying in the salat. And everything, yani, that he is saying, and everything that he is doing in the salat, from the beginning of it until the end of it, meaning every every ayah that he's reciting from the Quran, every dhikr, every du'a that he's saying in standing in ruku and sujood, yani, every position that he's standing before Allah, he's bowing to Allah, he's sitting, he's prostrating to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, that he's calling to mind, he's making himself conscious of everything that he's saying and everything that he's doing. From the beginning of it until the end of it. And in this way, the whisperings, you know, that come from shaitan will be reduced, and his evil thoughts also will be reduced. And the Shaykh said, هَذَا رُوحَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمَقْصُوُ الْمَقْصُودُ مِنْهَا. And this is the soul, the core, the essence of the prayer. Yani, the khushu'. This khushu'. And it is what is intended by the salat. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُكْتَبْ لِلْعَبْدِ. And that, and it is that which will be written for the servant. Meaning, yani, the Prophet ﷺ said, a man will leave the salat and there will be written for him 1/10 of it, 1/9 of it, 1/8, 1/7, 1/6, 1/5, 1/4, 1/3, 1/2 of it. Perhaps some people, when they leave the salat, nothing will be written for them. The Shaykh said what? That this khushu' and the salat is what will be written for the servant. The one who has presence of heart and mind, who is reflecting and contemplating on everything that they are saying in the prayer and everything that they are doing in the prayer, standing before Allah with the best manners, realizing you're standing in front of the Lord of the worlds and that you are near to Him in this moment of this prayer. This is, yani, the core. This is the heart, the soul, the essence of the salat. And this is what is intended by it. And this is what will be recorded for you on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Naam.
The Shaykh, rahimahullah ta'ala, it seems like he translated the abd striving in his salah as khushu'. Yani. And I was just trying to understand if that's what he meant by, yani, those who are striving in the salah to, yani, as all the characteristics that he explained. I've heard, wallahu a'lam, that the khushu' is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani. Even with this striving,
I mean, success is from Allah, there's no doubt about it, for sure. But the person has to make an effort. Yani, in other words, to achieve this, a person has to do something. Yani, so a person has to realize, first and foremost, they stand in front of Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And if we go to our prayer that we're going to perform now, and before we say takbir, we consciously call to mind that we're standing in front of Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And we call upon ourselves to be mu'addiban, yani, to be one who has manners in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we don't let our body just move, yani, just all over the place, our hands, our sight, our thoughts just going everywhere. But we try to restrain ourselves and show adab in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we reflect upon and think about whatever we're saying in the prayer. When we're saying Subhana Rabbi al A'la, yani, Allah Rabbi, He is, yani, the Most High. He is the one that's free from all imperfections. And if a person thinks about that when they're prostrating their forehead on the ground, saying, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Three words. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. If a person reflects on those three words, Rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he, yani, the asma wa sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's the Most High, and that he is the one who's free from imperfections. Yani, the only one that's free from imperfection. Everything in the creation is not free from imperfection. If a person reflected upon that when they are prostrating, that he's the Most High, I'm prostrating my head on the ground to the one who's Most High, Yani when a person is in ruku, subhana rabbi al-azim, al-azim, the supreme, the great, the magnificent. Yani whatever is the meanings of azim. That if a person reflect upon these things when you're reciting Quran, when you're, whatever it is that you're saying, whatever you're doing, that you're bowing, that you're prostrating, that you're standing before the Lord of the world. If a person makes an effort to do this, then by the permission of Allah, the success is surely from Allah. But if a person is sincere in doing that, then Allah will yani, give it its fruit. Naam. But khushu' yani, it has many meanings. Yani, it has many meanings. But what the Shaykh has described here helps us yani, to see what we can do to implement. Yani, what we can do in our salat that can help us to attain khushu' or to increase the khushu', to develop it. Yeah, striving is part of it, but it's not just striving, right? Okay, it starts with sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then knowledge, to know what to do and what to say. And knowing what we are saying and what we are doing, and what is the meaning and significance of what we are saying. And how many people know what's the meaning of subhanallah? And the books in English say subhanallah means glory to Allah. And what does that mean? And what does glory to Allah mean? That's not the meaning of subhanallah. Yani Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab explains in his book, The Arkan of Salat, and he explains what is the meaning of subhanallah. Yani the declaration, the tasbih, the declaration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all imperfections. Oh, how perfect is Allah. Yani if you want to translate it into English. Yani, oh, how perfect is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who's free from all imperfections. He has no shortcoming, no defect, whatever they have attributed to him falsely. If a person understands that meaning, how many people understand that meaning? In Arabic or in otherwise. And if a person understands that and reflects on that, this is what actually helps a person to get near to Allah, and Allah knows best. We're going to stop here for this time, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.